This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Recently, I've been rewatching Netflix's Last Dance. Has anyone watched this, or is it just me? There's like three people. You should check it out. I highly recommend. For those that don't know, it's a documentary series about the life or career of Michael Jordan, a famous basketball in the US, whom to many people is perhaps the greatest basketball player of all time, but also perhaps the greatest sports person, overall athlete ever. Now, in sport, if you don't know, the GOAT debate is quite hot at the moment. If you're not familiar with that language, GOAT is greatest of all time, okay? It's very hot. We love to debate it, particularly Messi versus Ronaldo, although that's kind of cooled a bit recently. Nadal or Federer, any Djokovic fans maybe? Jordan and LeBron is the basketball comparison over in the US. But it's not exclusive to sport by any means. Right? Our culture loves to pick a side on a debate, right? You almost can't be neutral anymore, whether you're on the street chatting with your friends, whether you're in the staff room, especially on social media. We love a good debate. So just to throw some fire into the mix, let's have a look at some. There's a few, I went a little bit tame, don't panic. Okay, Apple or Android always kind of splits the room. That's been going on around for a while. Ant or deck? Now, I had a really passionate conversation with some of Lizzie's family who had some strong ant or deck opinions, which I wasn't prepared for. It was amazing. North or south, we had to put an easy one on there. UK or US office, we'll get the staff team debating. Pick your favourite Chris as well. And for your Bake Off lovers, Mel and Sue, Noel and Sandy. And if you want to start a conversation with parents of a young child, Bluey versus Pepper, we'll get the conversation going as well. Anyway, those were just for fun. So you can debate that later with your neighbour if you would like. Why am I telling you this? Well, you might be asking. Well, throughout Lent, we are reading through Hebrews. It's a fascinating letter, and it's found in the New Testament. And it focuses on the magnificence and supremacy of Jesus. The author of Hebrews repeatedly compares the old with the new and presents a case for a clear winner. Spoiler alert, Jesus. And so as we read along, we will come across how Jesus is superior to angels, which means that he's a greater messenger and revelation of who God is. How Jesus is superior to Moses. He's a greater teacher. How Jesus is superior to the priesthood. We'll come to that a little bit later. And Jesus is superior to the sacrificial system, which we'll come back to next week. Come back for more, a little teaser there. But there's so many things throughout this letter that we compare the old with the new. And unlike many of the debates that we were just mentioning earlier, the author of Hebrews clearly has a great respect and affirmation for the former things. The former things aren't bad per se, but instead point to the need for something more. Our theme for the year is something more. We believe that the invitation of Jesus is to a life with a better story, a fuller way of life compared to any other person or way that the world could offer us, one with more grace, more meaning, more purpose, more love, more truth, and acceptance. And the author of Hebrews expresses this throughout the letter, that Jesus is the something more that we have been longing for. There's something more that we've needed. So just to kind of pre-warn you, okay, as we go through today, throughout Hebrews, there are lots of references to the Old Testament, okay, which can often make it difficult with our kind of 21st century lenses on, okay, to really understand what the author is talking about. And we need to understand the former things in order to truly understand what the author is trying to tell us about Jesus. So a little later on, we'll have to get our goggles out, all right, and just take them off and be aware of what the author is saying. So this morning we are looking at how Jesus is our ultimate high priest, how in him and through him we are restored to right relationship with God. He's our ultimate high priest. He's the mediator between God and humanity, who offers forgiveness of sins and who provides us access into the presence of God. All right, let's go for it. Will you turn with me to Hebrews 7? Helen's going to come up and read with me in a minute. 7, verse 22. Does someone have a page number for us if you're finding it in your pew Bibles? Feel free to pop it up there. Anyone at all? I didn't hear that at all. 907 is the call for today. Oh, sorry, that's also. I'll stay away. You go for it, Helen. Brilliant. Let's crack on. Let's go for it when you're ready.
Okay, so this is Hebrews 7, 22 to 28. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever.
Thank you, Helen. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's right. Thanks, Hel. Right, so the author of Hebrews here is comparing the old way of interacting with God through the old priesthood with the new way, a better way in light of who Jesus is, our ultimate high priest. But to understand what the author truly wants us to understand about Jesus, we need to dig in to what these priests are. As the passage says, we need to understand who those priests are and why they were important to the ancient Israelites and how they related to God. So what comes to mind when I say the word priest? There's probably a number of different things. This is what comes to mind when I say it. Does it have positive or negative connotations? Do they have particular clothing, perhaps? Where might you find a priest? Do you think Vicar of Dibley? Father Ted? Anything like that? Well, to a group of new Jewish Christians who were likely the intended recipients of this letter that we call Hebrews, to them, a priest would have meant a very specific thing. The priests of Israel were all part of the same family line, the line of Moses and Aaron. They were the people who worked in the temple. They cared for the dwelling, I can't say W's now, what's going on? The dwelling place of God, the meeting point of heaven and earth. The temple was the place of worship for the Israelites, where the priests would offer sacrifices on behalf of Israel and announce God's blessing over the people. So the priests were at the very center of the community's relationship with God. And when they were in the desert, they were quite literally at the very center of the nation. And so it says in Hebrews 5 about how a high priest would be appointed. So it says, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. So the role of the high priest was to represent the people before God, and also to represent God before the people. The high priest was the mediator between God and humanity. They were the go-between. They were, as this passage says, they were the guarantor of the covenant between God and his people. Or as the Big Bang Theory's Sheldon might say, it might be their relationship agreement, okay? Their covenant, their relationship agreement. And the priests were the ones that upheld Israel's end of the argument, of the agreement, sorry. So throughout the Bible, we see that high priests have a few key roles. So they mediate God's the relationship between God and Israel. They intercede to God on behalf of the people of Israel. They offer sacrifices for sins and forgiveness of sins. And they have access to the holy presence of God. So let's dive into some of that, shall we? So the high priests are the mediators, like I said, of a relationship agreement between God and Israel. They were the go-between. They were the people that reconciled two parties. They were the one who bridged the gap between God and humanity. They do this by representing the wants and needs of both sides in the relationship agreement. They represent the people to God and God to the people. They intercede on the people's behalf. They bring the requests and needs of the people before God. And one of the ways that the high priest would do this was they would represent the people by wearing their special uniform or garments. And one of those pieces of clothing was a breast piece that they would wear, among other things. And it would contain 12 precious stones. Each of them would have written the name of one of the tribes of Israel. And so as they performed the duties, the high priests, they would enter into God's presence. They would perform sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. They'd bring the requests of the people before God, all the while symbolically wearing the nation on their chest. They would represent the people to God and God to the people. The high priest was their representative and their mediator. As I mentioned, a key duty of the Israelite priests would be to uphold Israel's end of their relationship agreement, their covenant, by offering sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. Now, this grates against our 21st century Western ears, but to this, this was pretty normal for them. We'll explore more of this next week in the sacrificial system, but for now, can you bear with me on the sacrifice, animal sacrifice, okay? And we'll come to that. But the sacrifices would atone or make amends on behalf of the people because of their sin, and it would keep the people and God in right relationship, in good standing. And so lastly, a unique honor was given to the high priest. Once per year, they would enter into the inner sanctum of the temple in Jerusalem, what is known as the Holy of Holies. Only they were allowed in this room, and only after rigorous sacrifices and purification processes. After all that, they would enter into the presence of God, face to face, in the space where God dwelt amongst his people. So the high priest represented the people before God. I lost my place immediately, moving my page, hold on. Yeah, so they represented the people before God and God before the people. They were the mediator of this covenant or relationship agreement between God and Israel. And this allowed God his heart's desire to be with his people, to be in relationship with them. This is it. This is what God has been chasing ever since humanity was exiled out of the Garden of Eden. He's been working to bring humanity back into God's presence. Job done. Brilliant. Story over. Not quite. There was a problem. These high priests were human, just like the rest of us. And just although their role was holy and special and set apart, they were just as flawed as anyone else. They were tasked with keeping Israel to the terms of the relationship agreement, but they themselves were not making the grade. You're asking flawed people to measure up to the perfection of a good and holy God. That was a big ask. Slight side note, this is true for our leaders now, they're flawed too. Don't think they're perfect. Don't think because they're on the stage or anyone up here is perfect at all. I know I certainly am. Instead, pray for them. Pray for your small group leader. Pray for your team leader, the trustees, staff, and particularly David and Allison. Okay, we're all flawed and we all need the help of God. Slight aside. But anyway, this relationship agreement, as we're saying, it was really hard. The sins of the priests and of the people were putting their relationship with God at risk. God wanted a better way of entering into relationship with him. The relationship needed new terms, a new mediator. Something new was needed, something more. Enter Jesus. A priest, as Hebrews says, not in the mold of those priests, like Moses and Aaron, but in a different type of priest. Instead, a priest in the order of Melchizedek. So this is another Old Testament reference. Get your goggles out to understand. But it just means a different type of priest. One ordained not by the family line that you were a part of, but by the word or oath of God. A little bit later, earlier in the passage, it's not by ancestry, but by the power of an indestructible life that Jesus is a high priest. So let's go back to our text for the day, if you've still got your finger in it, and have a look at the comparison between the former things and Jesus. Let's see if we can pick out some of the reasons why Jesus is the superior high priest. So in verse 23 and 24, we see that unlike those priests that came before, Jesus lives forever, which means he is always available to intercede for his people. Those priests, well, they died. But Jesus, as we know, Jesus overcame death on the cross. The tomb was empty. Jesus is alive forever. We're going to celebrate this in a couple of weeks with Easter, which is so exciting. There is now, because Jesus lives, never a vacancy in the high priest role. He's always available to make a way between you and God. In verse 26, it says that he is holy, blameless, and pure. And so he doesn't need to offer sacrifices for his own sins. Jesus was perfect. Although he faced the same struggles and temptations of life that we do, he never sinned. Instead, he offers himself as a sacrifice for our sins once and for all, offering forgiveness of sins and again a way into relationship with God. This was the mission of Jesus, to provide a way for us to have relationship with God. And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Later on in the New Testament, Paul says this in Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. It's through Jesus that the gap between humanity and God is reconciled. He's the go-between, our mediator, our great high priest. He's the guarantor of a better covenant or a better relationship agreement. And now it's not based on how well we measure up or whether we make the grade, but instead it's because of who Jesus is and how worthy and perfect he is. It's a relationship of grace, not by works. And it's through Jesus and his priesthood that we are granted access into the holy place, like the Holy of Holies, God's presence. God's heart throughout the story of the Bible is to be with his people and his people to be with them. Through Jesus, we're able to enter into God's presence, to learn to hear his voice and live our lives in partnership with him. Ultimately, he places his Holy Spirit inside us. And now we are the temples. No longer is the temple just the dwelling place of God, but we are. We are the dwelling place of God, the point where heaven and earth meet. Jesus has created a new priesthood, putting his spirit in us, calling us out to be a royal nation of priests, sending us out into the world to tell our story of redemption and relationship with God through Jesus. He sends his Spirit out into the world through us. We are now called to be mediators ourselves, bringing others into the holy space, into right relationship with God, into the something more life that Jesus offers. For me, the access into God's presence and encountering the Holy Spirit was really what started my journey of faith. The presence of God when I was about 11 years old, when I first encountered the Holy Spirit, was like nothing I'd ever felt or since. There was something different about it. The Bible uses the word holy. I didn't know that then. In the presence of God, I feel almost like all things are possible. I feel fully alive, fully present. I feel free. I feel restored. Over the years of spending time in the presence of God and spending time with the Holy Spirit, I've seen how I've been transformed by his powerful presence. I've become more patient, more loving, more myself. But all of this is only because of Jesus, and it's a gift, this access to his presence. He's always available because he died. And he's always available because he lives forever. If your heart is to, I just want to echo what Lizzie said earlier about arise. If your heart is to spend time in dwelling and being amongst the presence of God, then arise is a great place to do that. It's shaped me and changed me over the 5 or so years that we've been doing it now. But it's all because of the availability of Jesus. He is our mediator, our great high priest. And it poses the question, how available are you? I believe that God can use those and transform those that makes themselves available to him. Is your heart open to the transforming power of God's presence? Are you open to the invitations of God to mediate God's presence to those around you and invite them into his kingdom and into relationship with him? For it's good news. It's too good not to share. Why wouldn't I want people to experience the presence of God where I become more alive, more myself? And we're going to have a moment to do that and enter into God's presence in just a few moments. It's my favorite time of meeting with church because this is where transformation happens, where God's Spirit comes and changes things. So wrapping up, through Jesus there is a better way to God. We enter into relationship with God in and through Jesus alone. He is our ultimate high priest, our mediator of a better covenant or relationship agreement, who offers forgiveness of sin once and for all and provides intimate access into the holy presence of God. We are now called to be mediators ourselves, bringing others into God's presence, into relationship with him, sharing the something more life that Jesus offers. I think there might be a few people here this morning as we head into a time of ministry that one may never have ever felt the touch of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And I want to make a space for you. And there'll be others that feel distant from God who need a fresh encounter of that life-giving presence that we're talking about. So I want to just give a moment for that. So let's stay seated just for a moment, but maybe it's helpful if you close your eyes or be in a posture to receive, and we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come, God's presence to come in this room right now. There's nothing special about this building. It's you and God's love for you that is special. He wants to reach out to you. So, Holy Spirit, come. We invite you to come and touch our lives afresh. We're just going to wait. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit come. If you're new to this and you've never waited on the Holy Spirit before, we're just giving the Holy Spirit space and availability to come and meet with you. We believe that God longs to be with his people, to be with his creation, and he loves you. Holy Spirit, come.
I just ask the Holy Spirit to bring opportunities to your mind. The word opportunities, and I think it means opportunities for us to be the mediator to the people around us. So as you're spending time with the Holy Spirit, I ask him to just bring to mind places, spaces, times in your day where you can be that to people. I think often it's really easy to miss them in the busyness of life, and but actually taking the time to tune in to Holy Spirit and where he might be asking you to step out as that mediator.
So let him come. Holy Spirit, come. We don't have to rush. We've got loads of time. It's perhaps one of the best moments. Normally in many of our lives we're rushing to the next thing, but we're just going to lean in, make ourselves available. Maybe you want to say that to the Joel, like, I'm here, I'm available for you. Holy Spirit, come. Would you bring fresh life to those that need it? Would you restore and bind up the brokenhearted? If you're connecting with God, you don't need to sense the Holy Spirit on you. There's no need to move. There's no need to rush at all. I think there's a few other things that I'd love to invite people to get some prayer for this morning. But if you're connecting with the Holy Spirit, don't move. You're in the right place for you. That's brilliant. One of the roles of the high priest that we didn't really dig it too much into this morning is the intercessor, who would bring and petition God for the needs of the people and the community. And I think it would be great to pray for the intercessors, or those that pray for the intervention of God for our community, for our church, for others in their groups, in their lives. So how should we do this? Why don't we... If you think that's you, if you have that heart to pray and pray and to intercede for others, can I invite you to stand? I'd love to just pray over you and pray a blessing of you. I know there are some of you amongst us, if maybe you've never given yourself that label, but someone who loves to pray. Maybe you join in the intercessory prayer group that joins before Sunday.
Or maybe as Alex is talking, you feel your heart beating quickly and you feel that. I'm having a picture of like fire, like passion, like real stirring of the Spirit in you. Like Alex says, you might not have called yourself an intercessor before, but that might be you.
If you're connecting with Jesus, you don't have to move if you're sensing the Holy Spirit. But if you're sat there ready to look around, why don't we gather around these folks? We're just going to pray for them just for a few minutes. So this is the time to step up and step out the pew, find your neighbor. Do that. Let's not leave them waiting for long. So let's go. Let's reach out a hand to these folks. Don't all move at once. It's all good. I'll kick us off. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you for these prayer warriors, these intercessors, who petition you and intercede on behalf of others in our church that we call Leeds Vineyard. Holy Spirit, come. Go for it, guys. These guys are going to pray for these guys on that one. Again, if you're connecting with Jesus, you don't have to rush. Let these guys pray. Move on. Holy Spirit, come. And lastly, I think the last thing that I think others you might want to get some prayer for is if you feel like you're that mediator, that person who's the inviter into God's Spirit. So we call that evangelism or just speaking to your friends. And Mary had that word the other week, didn't she, about us being inviters, our satchels full of invitations to give out to people. So if that's you, I just encourage you, maybe turn to your neighbor, ask them to pray for you. I would love to pray and bless that in you today. Holy Spirit, God. Again, if none of those things are you, this is still time and available for you to just rest in the presence of God.
I just felt like I had a picture of like a bud, and that when it turns its face to the sun, that's all it needs to do is turn its face to the sun, and it opens and transforms into like a beautiful flower, and it's completely changed from what it was before. And I just felt like that's what we can do with God. We just need to turn to God, and that's all we need to do, and he'll transform us and give us the strength to do what we need to do, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Thank you, Nick. Absolutely. So our time is coming to an end, but there's still time and space to pray for one another. There's no rush. If you want prayer for anything today, just come to the front after I wrap up in just a second. We'd love to pray for you. Don't come needing something. We want you to come away changed, having encountered God. Or just ask the person next to you, how can I pray for you this morning? When I have an invitation to do that. I know the young adults have been learning how to pray with one another, so let's practice, shall we? So, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you are our mediator. You create a way for us to come into the holy presence of God. So would your Spirit fall on us now as we turn our face towards you, radiant sun. Would you transform us? Would you fill us afresh? Amen. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Again, this is just the end of the upfront stuff, but keep praying for one another. In just a few moments, it'll be time to grab your children from their groups. But let's turn to the people and keep praying.